Welcome to the virtual meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals. A few notes before we begin. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you may reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. Board members, please use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, to ask questions, or request a roll call vote. The chair will do their best to call on members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will have your mics turned off until you're called upon. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Applicants may use their video during the public hearing portion of their case. Applicants' video will be turned off when that portion is completed. For members of the public, but other than applicants, please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'll call the order of the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting for June 12, 2025. The time is 5:02. Present with us this morning are board members Cliff Goddard, Angela Jenkins, David Wall, and myself as chair. With us also from the city is Katie Bannon, the zoning administrator, and city staff Carrie Olson and Gabby. Ortega, sorry. I'll catch up on your name here shortly. I'll take a few minutes to explain the procedures we follow for you to support or oppose an agenda item. I would remind everybody to please mute yourself when you're not speaking. First, if you have not already done so, anyone wishing to register in support or opposition to an agenda item or wishing to speak on an agenda item must register online at cityofmadison.com/meeting registration. Registration is required for all speakers, including applicants, because we record the hearing and use the hear recording to prepare the minutes. We will follow an agenda item. I will announce each item. Katie will then give an introduction to your agenda item. When your project is called, I will call on you to speak. I will then ask you to state your name for the record, and you will have 3 minutes to describe your proposal. We ask that you describe why the variance is necessary and what you have done to reduce the extent of the variance you are requesting. The board may ask questions, and then I'll ask you to rejoin the audience. Those in the audience in favor of your proposal will be given the opportunity to speak, followed by those who oppose. If there are any comments in opposition, you will be given an opportunity to make rebuttal remarks and respond to any additional board questions. Public participation on the agenda item will then end, and the board will discuss and deliberate and vote. You will hear us discussing your case, but you will not be allowed to comment. Approval requires a majority of votes of the members present tonight. With four of us, that will be three. In accord with city policy, the chair only votes if it would affect the outcome of the vote. If you have questions after the board's action, please contact Katie Bannon tomorrow morning. Her phone number is 608-266-4569. Email is kbannon@cityofmadison.com. If you are bringing any information tonight that was not part of the original submittal, we will need a copy for our records. First item of business is approval of the minutes of the meeting of April 17th. I'd entertain a motion for the minutes. Cliff, with a motion to approve.
Yes, motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Is there a second? Second by Angela. Any discussion or comments or corrections for the minutes? I did note one on the second page is item two. In the first full paragraph, the middle sentence reads, "The required setback is 27.7 feet." It actually is 26.7 feet. which makes the math of the other two items in that sentence work out. Anything from anybody else on minutes? Is there any objection to recording an unanimous vote for approval of the minutes? Seeing none, we'll move on to our next item. This is public comment. This opportunity is for people to make comments to the board that are not part of a specific agenda item. We do have one registrant tonight for that, Angie Black. Angie, I know you're registered also for an item, but if you have something else, this is your opportunity.
Nope, that was just me registering for the wrong number because it was above my name and I didn't look below. So that
Fair
was
enough.
My mistake.
Fair enough. All right, we'll move on to disclosures and recusals. Does anyone have disclosures or recusals? I will notice as a disclosure that I'm acquainted with Angela Black through her professional work and through work I have done with my neighborhood association, though I think our last contact was quite some time ago, and that will have no impact on my decision today. Anyone else? Move us on to our first variance request. This is Legistar number 88547. Angela Black, owner of the property at 2013 Russ Street, requests a side yard setback variance for an addition to a single family house in Alder District 6. Katie, can you provide us with an overview, please?
Yes, I'll start with sharing the plans and some information about the variance request before you today. Okay, so hopefully you can see the site plan here. This is a side yard setback variance request for an addition on a single family home. The required side yard setback is 4.9 feet based on the width of the property. 10% of lot width is 4.9 feet. The proposed side yard setback is 1 foot for a variance request of 3.9 feet. Zooming in a little bit here. So the existing house was originally built as a place of worship. Later, there was a residence added within the place of worship, and then it became a single family house sometime in the 1990s. In 2010, the Zoning Board of Appeals approved a variance, side yard setback variance, for adding an attached garage here. You can kind of see. What's proposed today is to add a second story addition on top of that attached garage, which has an open porch kind of in this corner, roofed open porch, adding on that footprint. So this yellow area here is the requested area for variance. You should have received an updated site plan as well more recently. Nothing really changing with the variance request, but adding some additional improvements in the backyard that are not part of this variance request, but just so you have an accurate representation of currently site conditions on the property. Moving into some more details on the plans. Yep, a little too far. Give me a moment here. So here's the floor plan for that proposed second story addition, a bedroom and office area alongside that existing house. The side setback variance is here requested along the left-hand side. Here are a couple elevations showing existing conditions, attached garage on the left-hand side, and then the proposed addition atop that. Again, existing and proposed side elevations on the side where the side setback variance is requested. A few views from the rear. So again, existing attached garage, proposed addition, tying into the existing house. A couple of renderings that show a little bit of perspective here. And here's the existing first floor plan. There's no changes proposed on that first floor. Next, I will share some photographs I took of the property. So this is kind of the west front elevation. Should look similar to what you've seen already, the existing attached garage and the variance area shown here. Yeah, I'm moving along a little bit to the side. You can see that side where the variance is requested. You can see the Barrymore Theater in the back, kind of a landmark. This is the view from the backyard looking forward. So you can see on the right-hand side here, this is the neighbor's garage. This is looking towards the rear. So I didn't mention the site plan, but it's really kind of a triangular lot in the rear. This shows the other side on the right where the variance is not requested, but to give you a better view there. And again, a view from the front. So that's the variance request before you today.
Your mic is off.
Thank you. Forgot I did that. We have one registrant for this item, Angela Black of 2013 Russ Street, the applicant in support wishing to speak. Angela, could you state your name for the record, please?
Angela Black, 2013 Russ Street. Thanks, Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to talk. Thanks, Katie. So I am.
Before you get started,
is
Katie's description of your request accurate?
Yes.
Okay. You'll have 3 minutes to inform the board. We ask that you describe why the variance is necessary and what you've done to minimize the extent of the variance.
You bet. Couple reasons why it's necessary. Primarily I have one of the unique and oddly shaped lots on the Near East Side. We're a tight-knit neighborhood over here. And so as lots and blocks got chopped up over time, I ended up with an oddly shaped lot. And so I've worked hard over the last 23 years to continue to improve the old church and turn it into a home. And so it's been a great house for us. The other reason is that with the garage as it exists, structurally, you have to match the footprint in order to really build on top of it without having to put all kinds of beams and structural stuff inside of the garage. So it's really the feasible option for adding a bedroom. In terms of adding a bedroom, just a little history. Because it's an old church, my bedroom has been the, as I affectionately call it, the choir loft for the last 23 years. And I have two teenage kids and my partner has a teenage son, and I've not ever had walls or a door on my bedroom. And so it would be very nice to have my own space with an office. My office is currently shared with my son's room. And that would enable us to have a space also for my partner's son to have a room. They're all teenagers now. So just sort of looking to take the next step. I've worked hard for the last 20 years and finally got to a place where I can continue to make the improvements I've dreamed of making to the old church and have a bedroom there. That's about it. Thanks for your time.
Right. Questions for the applicant from board members? David.
The question I have is, I couldn't quite tell. The drawings show some windows on the existing garage on the facing the neighbor, but the photos didn't seem to. I couldn't tell if there were windows.
That's a good catch, and it's because I sent the PDF from the garage addition, which originally had windows in it, but because of fire code, we didn't put them in. So there are not windows on that side because of fire separation.
And then, you know, one of the things we look at is, you know, the bulk. You know, you're adding, you added bulk when you got the variance, and now you're doubling the amount of that bulk in the variance. And, you know, just we look at how that affects the neighborhood, and in particular, the neighbor direct, right next door. And I'm wondering what your thought is on what this would look like from your neighbor's perspective, having, I guess it just looks like a big two-story blank, very long blank wall with, can you describe the detail and how aesthetically that will be pleasing to the neighborhood? Or have you considered adding windows or some feature to make it look less bulky and more friendly, so to speak?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm working with and the neighbor, just to clarify, is it's six apartments. They turn over pretty much every year. So I'm working with Aldo Partners. That's my builder. So they design build, and they're very, I like to think they're very in tune with sort of you know, integrating old and new in a way that works for our East Side neighborhood. So we have talked a lot about that, and this particular project is actually part of a larger project, which is going to include re-siding the entire house, identifying design and materials for the addition, including the garage below, that work well with the existing house, but also keep the new and the old sort of distinct. And we're also going to be putting a new metal roof on the house as well, and new windows throughout. So definitely in tune with that, and making sure that it really works well with the neighborhood, works well with the context, and is truly a house that will continue on well beyond my lifetime. But yes, we're friends with all the neighbors over there too. So definitely want to pay attention to the context for everybody in that regard, for sure.
Can you give me a little bit more clarity on what the neighbors would be looking at when they look over at the additional bulk that will be now in their view?
So I think that right now, the upstairs two apartments, there's only one that faces my house, and they actually, their window line is basically at the same level as my roof, my house roof. The metal apartments, actually looking out the window right now, they actually look at the front apartment looks down where my driveway is. And the back apartment window actually is by my backyard. So it actually looks into my backyard. There's not really, there's one window in the middle that's a bathroom window that looks at the side of the garage, and it's frosted. So they would still have the same view, I guess, that they have now. I don't believe it will have an impact given the window placement. It's the building next door. There's a lot of them in Madison. There are those buildings that have the two basement units, two first floor units and two second floor units, and they're like just a square box. There's a ton of them on the east side. So I don't know if you've seen those, but they have the windows are wrapped on each corner of the building. There's not a lot in the middle of the building. I'm not describing that very well, but trying.
So what they look out on, will it be Will there be distinction or architectural detail that, or will it be the same siding all the way up, or
I'm hoping it's going to be different. That's a really good question. So Joe Krupp is building a project right down the street where the old Zion Church used to be, and he's got some really interesting siding going on there. That some of it looks like wood and some of it's darker toned. I actually took pictures of that and gave it to my builder to have a look at as my inspiration piece. So my intent would be, yeah, it would be different and it would be interesting for sure. That's really important to me. So we, in terms of the rendering you have, I know it looks a little boxy and sort of plain. We didn't want to go too far into the details until we were sure we had, the footprint to work with, the envelope. So we're definitely going to refine the design, to make sure it looks, really good.
No further questions right now.
Thank you.
Cliff, go ahead, please.
Thank you. I'd just like to follow up on David's question. From what I understand, you're saying the rooms that actually are adjacent to this proposed addition is a bathroom and not a living room or a dining room or anything like that.
I think so. Cliff, there's a window in the middle of the building. I'm not sure what's behind the window. I've
Okay,
only been
but
in.
it's a small window and it
Correct.
has a high sill.
Correct.
So it so you're and it's you said it's a frosted glass.
Let me just, yes, I think so.
Okay.
I don't really peer at the windows all that often, so I'm
Yeah.
sort of speaking out of memory.
You said they're bigger windows and those units are on the corners.
Correct.
And there's one in the front and one in the back.
Yeah,
We
so
didn't
they,
get a whole lot of pictures of
yeah. I
the
mean,
neighborhood.
Katie, if whoever has the computer screen, if you Google 2023 Rusk Street, I think you'll see what I'm talking about. So there's in each unit, there's a front window and a side window, and they're right on the corners of the building. So the front two windows that are on the front and the side are in front of my garage, so they don't even, aren't impacted at all by the location of that. And in the back, they look into my backyard, basically, that they're not impacted by the addition either.
Okay, so then maybe the this will yeah I see
There you
now.
go.
Okay, yep.
I guess there's two little windows up there. Sorry, I didn't remember that very well. But the main windows and the living areas, I believe, are the front ones there, and
Got
those
it.
all look out towards the street.
So that those are more for daylight than views.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Just on that one, it appears from the aerial view that we have that the applicant's structure extends beyond the rear line of the adjacent neighbor we've been talking about by some amount. So any of those side windows would be looking directly at the proposed addition. It would have an angled view of some sort beyond that to the across the backyard. Other questions at the moment for the applicant? I have one because part of our review is to find that the variance will be in character with the neighborhood. What I'm hearing is that the renderings that you show with the materials and the colors are not something we should use as a reference. And at this point, those decisions haven't been made. So I'd like to clarify what you're going to do. I think it does make it harder on the board to find that a request will meet standard six if we don't know really what we're approving.
Well, I suppose the siding that Aldo has shown on the rendering is similar to the black wood siding on Joe Krupp's project up the street that I gave them. And that's in contrast to the cedar siding that's on the side now and the metal that's on the front. So, I mean, again, the intent is to continue to respect the existing historic structure that was built in 1908, and keeping the addition distinct, so that it looks different. And I guess I do like the darker colored siding, and I think that it's interesting and architecturally interesting.
Okay, but again, is that what you intend, is to have a black second floor cladding material above something that's a different color as you're redoing the entire rest of the structure?
Well, the existing house would have a different kind of siding. So, and the garage currently has stained gray cedar siding on that wall, and corrugated metal paneling on the front and the rear. And so the black paneling would be above.
Flat panels, corrugated. I don't see the wood siding on the. Is that what that is on the side there? Lap siding
It's
on the side of the garage?
Katie showed a photo of it.
Yeah, I see that. I see the photo now. It appears to be a lap siding. And that's going to stay or change or.
The cedar siding that's there now.
Yes.
We may put regular siding over it just for preservation purposes. It doesn't hold up real well, we've learned.
Okay.
I'm happy to have a condition as to a specific look if there's something you're looking for here. I guess I'm unsure what.
We're looking to be able to state that the proposal is compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood.
So
So not having so I'm trying to clarify for the board what we might be expecting if what I'm being told is that what's in the application is not reflective of what will
no,
be done.
I don't think that's true. I think what I'm saying is there may be some material selections going forward as we design with the builder. And just for context, what's around me is I've got a 6-unit apartment building here. I've got a 2-unit on this side. I have a 4-unit behind me, and I have a donut slash nut store on the other side and the Barrymore Theater. So we're very eclectic here in terms of this neighborhood. I'm not trying to put a bedroom in the middle of a West Side single family home neighborhood. I'm trying to, create longevity for a single family home in the middle of an eclectic Near East Side neighborhood that both recognizes the historic, interesting character of my home that used to be a church, and also provides a more modern space to allow my family to continue to live and grow here.
I understand that, and I'm trying to clarify for the board and what they might be approving. It seemed when I was go ahead, Angela.
Chair, I just thought that maybe I could share some insights here because it's a neighborhood that I frequent daily, and I think the exterior aesthetics that you are referring to or alluding to, Chair, is I would say it will be compatible to the neighborhood because I am seeing other either renovations within the neighborhood that is using different materials than maybe like from I don't know, decades ago, like the usual shingles materials or sidings. Like for instance, I can't think of the precise address, but there is one that I have seen it being renovated over the course of this last several years on Milwaukee Street, which is still within the neighborhood. It's the White House with the like a two-story, very much the, I would call it the Seattle, it's the city of Seattle architecture. You know, that's being one of them. There's also another one that's like very modern like architecture that is also on Milwaukee Street as well. And I think they are scattered surrounding the neighborhood. So to me, in reviewing this is not as big of a concern for me. But I
Thank
do
you.
want to point out that there are examples of structures within the neighborhood that has, I think, the mixed use of those materials on the exterior of the homes.
Thank you. Other questions from the board? I have one more to follow up here. It seemed largely what was driving the need for the variance was to add a bedroom. And we often look at, what's been done to make that a reasonable size that's adequate if we think that that's an amenity that a house in this neighborhood would normally have. And so yours is 17 by 13, certainly more than large enough to function as a bedroom. Did you look at other possibilities for that, or how did we come to this size?
We came to that size for because it matches the structure that it's sitting on top of. And just for context, inside the house, there's not a full second story. It's actually open where I've marked on the plan that it's open to below. In addition, there's actually some fairly significant structural challenges in this house because one of the prior owners, opened it up and did not properly secure the walls. And so I've had to install tie rods in the middle of the house to hold the walls together. So further doing anything besides putting something on the outside that buttresses the walls, isn't feasible from a structural perspective. So my option is to build on the footprint of the garage. You really structurally couldn't make it smaller on top of the garage because there's a span, right? There's no interior walls to the garage. So it fits very well on top of the garage. It also serves as an office. As you know, Chair, I'm a full-time employed lawyer and I work from home often. I do a lot of these meetings at night. So having a dedicated office space that's not shared with my son's bedroom is very beneficial to me and my job. So that's part of it as well, is it will provide me with an office that has a door so I can have work meetings and do my work at home while my kids are here as well. So right now he has a bed in here and I have a desk in here. So that'll be an additional space that it provides for me. So a dual purpose.
Thank you. Any other questions for the applicant? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing, and it would be time for a motion. Angela.
I move to approve.
Thank you. Is there a second? David?
I second.
Thank you. We'll move on to discuss the standards. Standard one, there are conditions unique to the property of the applicant that do not apply generally to other properties in the district. Would like to start us off. Cliff, thank you.
Okay, the conditions, I would say the geometry, the existing structure underneath the proposed addition.
Thank you. Anyone with anything to add to that on standard one? Standard two, the variance is not contrary to the spirit, purpose, and intent of the regulations in the zoning district and is not contrary to the public interest. Cliff.
Well, they want a bedroom. The houses often have bedrooms. I think that they're a good match. Houses and bedrooms.
Anyone else with something to add? Angela.
I'll just add that it's pretty common in this particular neighborhood to have additions to a flat roof garage.
Thank you. Any other comments from board members on standard two? Seeing none, we'll move to standard three. For an area variance, compliance with the strict letter of the ordinance would unreasonably prevent use of the property for a permitted purpose, or would render compliance with the ordinance unnecessarily burdensome. David.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, we have an existing garage that's already in the setback, and to try to, this is fairly common where you're adding a second addition, and in order to be compliant, changing walls that don't line up with the first floor is excessively burdensome, and just the shape of the lot, you know, trying to look at other areas to potentially add more space is just problematic and would likely cause also a variance.
Thank you. Other comments on standard three? Move on to standard four. The alleged difficulty or hardship is created by the terms of the ordinance rather than by a person who has a present interest in the property. Cliff.
Well, I would say that we could bear that out due to the fact that this body has previously approved a variance, and you know, for the very same feat.
Others on standard four? I just note that that standard doesn't necessarily allow for adding any all particular types of spaces that any applicant might desire. We have certainly have applications that come through that want to expand into a setback. And we've denied some for any number of reasons, one being excessive in the size or a use that seems specific to the applicant. Just disappointing information. We'll move on to standard five. The proposed variance shall not create substantial detriment to adjacent property. David.
I mean, in my opinion, I think that I kind of wish we had had more concrete plans for how this is going to affect the neighboring property. If they built bulk that was within the variance and it was also kind of the industrial Portland look, which I happen to like, and I think it makes a lot of sense when you're working with a historic building to make the addition very obvious that it's not part of the original, and kind of give the neighborhood a bit of a refresh and an update. So I like that aspect of it. But I don't think there's going to be substantial detriment. I guess that's where I am going to let this pass, is because it's literally, I don't think it's substantial. I think there potentially is detriment, and we don't really know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but again, I fall on, I don't think it's going to be substantial.
Yes, this standard is more about detriment to the property. We often look at light and air or runoff. Much of what you were describing was design characteristics, which will be standard six.
Yeah, I think light, air, and visual aesthetics might be the next one.
Thank you. Cliff?
I would just add that since the addition and the variance is identical to the first floor, and the neighboring properties' floor plans seem to be identical on their two floors, that there should be no substantial detriment any further than what may have been experienced in the last 15 years from the original addition.
I'll just note that the standards when the garage variance was approved were somewhat different than the standards that are currently being used.
Okay.
There is some documentation of that in the packet that we received. Angela.
I will acknowledge that, you know, this is introducing bulk, which is typically what we look at, and it is likely to have some minimal detriment to the neighboring property. That being said, that is also very common in this neighborhood where the houses are very, like, they're built very close to one another with minimal buffering in between. So yes, it is, there are some detriment, but I don't think that that is like out of line in terms of the overall characteristics and just how the houses and properties are, how they exist currently in this neighborhood.
Thank you. Any other comments on standard five? We'll move on to standard six. The proposed variance shall be compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood. Cliff.
I would like to echo some of the board's concern about what it is exactly we're going to see. And I agree with Angela that the materials proposed in our packet are not inconsistent with what we see in the neighborhood. However, one thing I do see in that neighborhood to some degree, even though it's a wide variety of material palette, any individual building usually doesn't have all of them. And so the only thing that concerns me is that there's a metal siding, a horizontal wood siding, and then now a third material on the addition facing the neighbor. And I think maybe no more than two different materials might be more successful in the final design than three very separate and distinct materials and colors.
And just to clarify, Cliff, and I know I've been part of this, when you said Angela, you were talking about Angela Black, since we have two Angelas today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, no, Angela Jenkins, our board member, pointed out that these materials, because she's familiar with the neighborhood, are consistent in the neighborhood.
Angela Black goes by Angie generally, and that would have helped us clarify if I had been consistent on that along the way. David.
Yeah, I guess I would add, this is not my neighborhood. I'm somewhat familiar with it, and I've seen some pretty modern additions, which I think this actually fits in. I struggle a little bit with the fact that there being no windows. I don't know how many residential properties have such a large bulk with absolutely no windows facing each other. I don't know if that's the Portland look. I'm going to let it pass because I think it sounds like my fellow board members are comfortable with that look. I would just add that I generally don't believe the lack of windows on such a large face is compatible, perhaps, unless this neighborhood is going for a particular look and we're going to start to see more of this and people are okay with that, then I'm okay with that too.
Cliff.
I would just like to clarify that when a building is that close to the property line, the building code prohibits windows from being installed. So if they would have to push the wall back further away in order to get some minimal amount of window openings, but that doesn't mean there couldn't be some. That doesn't mean there couldn't be some other architectural variations or detailing to break up a blank wall.
That's what I was going to point out, that there could be something that way. If board members are sufficiently concerned on this standard, not being able to find that it meets the standard, and since we have to find that it meets all six standards to grant approval, it's kind of a tricky one to try to put conditions on, but conceivably we could ask for the final plans to receive staff review prior to the building permit being obtained, but we should give staff some indication of what the concerns are and what might alleviate those concerns if we were thinking about doing that. Angela.
Perhaps I'm not viewing. I understand that there won't be windows on the trying to get my position here along the side of the house. But isn't, according to the rendering, though, there appears to be a window towards the front of the house, which is sort of consistent with the opening for the garage. And secondly, my second point is, you know, surrounding windows and the need for light. That perhaps to me, it's more of a personal preference. And if I don't believe within our standards, we stipulate that conditions or requirement previously. But if I think somebody else had mentioned, maybe it was Cliff, that if needed or desired, I think like a different way to like design wise to introduce light into the new structure could be explored by the owner and their builders.
We have on occasion added conditions and conditions that relate to some of the architectural designer features of a proposal. And sometimes that's because they aren't completely clarified on the documents that we receive, or as in this case, they have not really been fully considered, as I understand it. So if there is concern on meeting standard six, that would be an option. And my suggestion is that if there is, that we just leave that for staff review and not to be brought back to the board. But we should articulate what the issue is. If it's the blank wall along the neighboring property there, both on the garage level and on the upper level, given that windows aren't an option, and we see windows in some of the drawings that were presented that don't exist, then we would need to clarify that. But any other comments on this topic and whether or not we would want to do anything more to find that it meets standard six? Seeing none, Well, I think I may have a sense of the board. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote of approval for this agenda item? If so, please use the raised hand signal. Seeing none, the variance request is approved, and we'll move on to our next item. Next item is Legistar 88548. Bruce Holler, representative of the owner of the property at 1417 Wright Street, requests a variance for the location of outdoor storage at the contractor's yard in Alder District 12. Katie, can you give us an overview of this request, please?
Yes, the documents are a little slow to load at the moment. We'll get there. Okay, what's before you this evening for this variance request is a request to have outdoor storage between the building and the street. And this first site plan I'm showing you here shows the entire site. So it's a triangular site that has two street frontages, Wright Street and Rhinedale Avenue kind of behind it. There's an existing parking lot, which has some more informal kind of outdoor storage occurring today. And what's proposed is to add an outdoor storage area kind of in this triangular area because it's located between the building and the street, and that's not allowed by the zoning code. This would require a variance. So this is a little bit closer view of that portion of the lot where they're proposing to add outdoor storage. So here the variance is this gray area, outdoor storage placed between the principal street, between the building, I'm sorry, principal building and abutting street. This area will be screened with a screening fence and some landscaping as well as proposed. Some of that landscaping. Now I'll show some photographs of the site. Okay, this is the front elevation looking towards the building. This is currently a contractor's yard business and electrician. So you can see there's the, on the right-hand side, one of the entrance doors and then some loading docks and the building kind of continues to the right. So the next photograph shows the other portion of the building. Loads for me, here we go. So this is going a little bit further east. You can see the remainder of the building and as well as a little bit of the outdoor storage that's occurring today, some of those overhead doors and the parking lot. This is moving a little bit further north on the site and looking back towards the same view I showed earlier, some existing outdoor storage occurring kind of in that parking area today. Wright Street is to the right, I guess here, and to the left is Rhinedale Avenue. So there's the two street frontages. This is looking further down Wright Street to the north. So that outdoor storage area I showed before to the right, and the outdoor storage area is proposed to kind of be in this vicinity. Again, you can see Wright Street to the left in this view and Rheindahl Avenue to the right in this view. This is moving along kind of Rheindahl Avenue. You can see the existing fence and the building. This is the one side of the building that I was explaining in the staff report where outdoor storage would be allowed because it's the one side of the triangular property where outdoor storage would not be between located between the building and the street. So this is kind of moving around then towards Wright Street for the remaining side of the building that you can see, Wright Street on the left. And then that parking lot kind of a little bit further out here, outdoor storage proposed in this vicinity. That is the variance request before you tonight.
Thank you. We have two registrants for this item. We have Donald Lee, 1417 Wright Street in Madison, registered in support, available to answer questions, and Bruce Holler of 7530 Westward Way in Madison, in support and available to answer questions. So at this point, neither has asked to speak. I will start by asking, I think Bruce as a representative, to first state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Bruce Holler, 7530 Westward Way in Madison.
And you're representing Crescent Electric, the owner here.
I'm representing Crescent Electric, yes.
Thank you. Was Katie's description of the variance request accurate?
Yes.
Thank you. As you know, you could have time to speak. You didn't ask for it, but...
Well, I would like to, if possible.
Certainly.
You just clicked the wrong box, sorry.
You can have 3 minutes, as you've heard, to tell us why the variance is required and what you've done to try to minimize the extent of the variance.
Okay, thank you. So the lot that Crescent Electric currently sits on is, as Katie had mentioned, is a triangular lot. There is a small portion on that north end of their parking lot that is not really conducive for any parking lot expansion. There's some existing storage out there now, and they would like to utilize that space to put up a fence, expand the area for additional storage, get a privacy fence put in, and extend the existing fence on Rheindahl North, wrap it around. We will have a frontage, some fence fronting Wright Street, and then have a completely enclosed storage area with gates for access. We have to the north of the site a green space owned by the Dane County Regional Airport. On the west side of Wright Street, we have the U.S. Army International Guard. They also have a chain link fence along that side of Wright Street. So it's seems to be, you know, sort of a one of the conditions was regarding the, I think it was a condition six related to the neighborhood, I believe, but we got, so, you know, the site is currently 60% coverage, adding this 6,000 square feet of additional impervious area bumps it up to 70%, which is below the 85% coverage required. Drainage.
Sorry, you've got 1 minute, just so you know.
Okay. Drainage for this area will drain internally, so we have no water leaving the site. And the one thing that just popped into my head, the extension of the privacy fence along Rheindahl will actually block nighttime headlights from Rheindahl across the site onto Wright Street. But so that's we're asking for that for a variance for the storage to be placed between the principal structure and adjacent street.
Thank you. Questions from the board for the applicant? Angela.
Can you tell us the potentially the specific needs for the additional outdoor storage spaces and what alternate sites or options have you considered?
Well, one of the pictures that Katie had showed the existing material were some plastic conduit. That would be the type of material that would be enclosing and screening from its current condition. We did consider there's a little green space on the southwest corner of the site that would fall under the same variance request. Unfortunately, on that corner, there's an existing MGE easement that runs through there that we wouldn't want to be over the top of that, and it would restrict us somewhat. So this seemed to be the logical location for the expansion and the request for the storage area. And it is in close proximity to the entrance off the street, off Wright Street.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for the applicant? I've got one for you, Bruce. If I heard you right, there you have the existing wood fence coming along Rheindahl, and are you proposing to extend that out until you come to the new screening fence around the storage area? Does that run all that far, or?
Yeah, so we will connect to that fence to continue the screening. As we head north, the privacy fence that we are proposing is a chain link fence with slats in it.
Okay, that was my next question. I couldn't recall if we had that in the information, but that meets the zoning standard for a screening fence, which is how Katie has been describing what you're doing there. So the two would meet, but the wood fence is going to stay at this point.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions for the applicant? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Is there a motion? Cliff?
I would move approval of the variance request.
Thank you. And David?
I will second it.
Thank you. So we'll move on to the standards. Standard one, there are conditions unique to the property of the applicant that do not apply generally to other properties in the district. Who wants to start us off here? David, thank you.
Yes, I think what's unique to this is the triangular shape of the lot and how much street frontage there is between the building or the building, the way the lot is situated. It's unique, and there would be really difficult to find storage that is not between one of these two streets and the building.
Thank you. Anything else on standard one? We'll move on to standard two. The variance is not contrary to the spirit, purpose, and intent of the regulations in the zoning district, and is not contrary to the public interest. Cliff.
Yes, I believe outdoor storage is a permitted use in this zoning district. It's just a matter of its location between the building and the street, which brings the applicant here.
Yeah,
Is that
so like
right, Katie?
maybe clarify that then.
It is a conditional use, so it will need to go to Plan Commission. But I think it might be conditional, honestly, in every zoning district in Madison.
So I correct myself, not a permitted use, a conditional use.
And allowed use, yeah, and conditional.
Anything else on standard two? We'll move to standard three. For an area variance, compliance with the strict letter of the ordinance would unreasonably prevent use of the property for a permitted purpose or would render compliance with the ordinance unnecessarily burdensome. Angela.
I'll take a stab at this. I think the only space that is allowed or permitted without requesting a variance is that tiny strip of space in between two buildings. But just looking at the site plan, I think that accessibility would be an issue considering the materials that will be stored. And so requiring, I think maybe the logical space based on the sort of like the lot size and shape of the current property, it's where it's currently being proposed.
Thank you. Any further comments on standard three? We'll move on to standard four. The alleged difficulty or hardship is created by the terms of the ordinance rather than by a person who has a present interest in the property. David.
I think the difficulty comes into play with the triangular shape of the lot and the placement of the building on the lot. There really is it would the location where it would be allowed is just not feasible.
Thank you, Clip.
I would just add to that in addition to the triangular shape, it's the multiple street frontages as well.
Thank you. Any more on standard four? We'll move to standard five. The proposed variance shall not create substantial detriment to adjacent property. David?
Yeah, I think where this is located, the applicant is intending to screen it. And I think based on where the fence is going to go, it actually will do the fencing will pretty much screen the materials from neighboring properties and passersby.
And they are planning some landscaping to sort of screen the fence that they'll be installing as well. At least provide some relief there. Anything else on standard five? Move to standard six. The proposed variance shall be compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood. Angela.
I'll just state that like this neighborhood, it's interesting mixed use of like large industrial uses, if you kind of call it that, because it has like like industrials and then also like other businesses largely. I think the only, and then with some sprinkle in some residential area, at least in based on the site plan, on the Raindall Avenue side of things. And so I would say overall, the proposal does not change and it like change the overall aesthetic of the uses. And the characteristics of the building itself, it seems like they would kind of make sense.
Thank you. Any other comments on standard six? So at this point, I'll ask the same question. Is there any objection to recording any unanimous vote in favor of granting the variance request? And seeing none, the variance is approved, and we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is communications and announcements.
I guess the due date for July's meeting isn't until the 20th, so we do not know yet if we will have a case for July, but after that deadline passes, I can let people know.
Thank you. Yes, we're meeting much earlier than usual in the month, so there's a quite a space between there, but at this point we don't have any applicants. So. Okay. Angela.
Just a follow-up question on that. I know, like, wasn't it the last case that we reviewed? I seem to believe we put a timeline conditions for the applicants to bring back their revisions to their proposal to us.
Yes, we did have one from our last meeting that we deferred to a future meeting, and I
I think to
believe it would
July,
be
like no later than the
this
July.
July meeting, as what the minutes say. So, but they would
Okay.
need to request to be on the agenda. We don't automatically put them on. They would need to submit additional materials,
Gotcha.
and they may or may not choose to do that. Anything else for the good of the group from anybody? Hearing nothing, is there a motion to adjourn? Thank you, David. And a second. Hi, Angela. Thank you all. The meeting is adjourned. Enjoy the rest of
Night.
the evening.